All right, so quick break. Our friends at Custom Ink know how to make an awesome event even better with custom apparel and accessories. So whether you're planning a viewing party, a weekend away, or any other event, make it memorable with custom gear like tanks, bags, or wine tumblers. The Custom Ink website is super, super, super easy to use, and you don't have to be an artist to make something cool. Trust me on that one. I am no artiste. They have tools and artists to help you out, but if you do have a design, you can upload it, and there are tons of different kinds of products to choose from. Custom Ink makes it super simple to create fun custom items for your group. And with the group order form, it's easy for each of your friends to get in on the matching gear. All you have to do is share your design. Then everyone can place individual orders, choose their own sizes, pay for the items, and even have them shipped directly to their doors. Bring your girls together. Custom Ink can help. Off the Vine listeners, you can get 10% off your next order. For full details and to start designing, go to customink.com/vine.
Who's on with OTV?
Podcast One presents Off the Vine Great Therapy. Caitlin Bristow is going to answer your questions, drink to your confessions, and hear what you have to say about anything bachelor. Let's shake it up some more. Here's Caitlin.
Welcome to Great Therapy. I'm your host, Caitlin Bristow. Your session is now starting. I am so excited for today's guest, and we've been trying to coordinate this podcast for a long time, I feel like. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to get together a while, so I'm happy that our schedules align today in New York City. Yay. In this weird little meeting room in this hotel with one microphone that we're going to pass back and forth. Please welcome stand-up comedian, actress, writer, producer, and podcast host, Nikki Glaser.
Thank you for having
me. This is like straight interview style because I'm holding the mic and then I pass it to
I you. Feel like this is like the 1970s journalism. Like you're doing an expose to expose some kind of, I don't know, thing you've been working on for months. And I'm the one that's going to give you the interview that's going to break everything.
Well, I really feel important.
You guys aren't watching. I mean, you can't see this, but Caitlin has to like put the mic in my face. Like, I don't think I've ever done a podcast like this.
I've never done a podcast like this, and I'm not drinking wine, so it just feels weird. There's a fan going in the background here that we should probably see if we can turn off. Oh, yeah, there. Like, it's just, how many times do you think already today I've said shit show?
I think this is the fifth time, if we're actually counting. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like the 10th. I'm just a functioning shit show all the time.
You never appear to be, and that's the thing I like about you so much, is that I know that you are because you talk about being one, but when I look at you on Instagram, I don't see that ever. Even when you are showing your like shit show sides, I'm still like, wow, she's still so cute and perfect. Like, but it is nice to know that you are one, and I've seen it in the flesh today.
Today you are seeing it. You know what I am? I'm like a duck. Like on the surface, like you see this duck just going, but underneath the legs are just like, like going nuts. That's me. I'm a duck.
You're such a duck. I've always said that about you. I've never thought that about you, but now I know.
Yeah, see, I'm a total duck. I'm gonna come up with some sort of like a picture for that, or like a video, like where I'm just like doing a little side by side, like of me just like, you know, you see me on stage and I'm doing my podcast, and then behind the scenes I'm like, like freaking out and crying.
I've never heard the analogy of the duck with like it's wild underneath, but up here it's placid and still. I see it today.
Yeah. I mean, I was out until 3 a.m. Then I tried to do a boxing class. I didn't know if I was going to shit my pants or throw up. It was one of the two. And they put me in the front row. I don't know why. He was like, oh, you're new? Oh, and I was like, yeah, put me in the back. He puts me right front and center. And so I had to show off. And I was up there and I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be such good podcast content because I'm going to, you know, we confess on this podcast. And so I'm going to have to say that I shit my pants in this boxing class.
And you did you do either?
I did not. I made it through, and just I was so sweaty and like gagging, and it was just a real treat. Like again, shit show.
Wow, how did you get, so you were out till 3, and then you did, what time did you do a boxing class?
It was noon. Okay. It was
noon 30. Oh yeah, I forget that we're like way well into the day now. Yeah. Okay, but I'm still proud of you for doing that. That's really impressive.
I'm actually very proud of myself. Oh, because
better than getting a workout in when you're in the middle of it and you go, I want to quit, I shouldn't be here, and you go, if I get to the end of it, I am going to feel so rewarded. My friend once said, she goes, I have never left the gym and been like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
And when you think about things in life that you can point to that you never leave and go, why did I do that? We should do those things all the time.
That's a good point.
And I've never worked out and been like, I shouldn't have done that.
No, never.
I've never read a book and been like, why did I read that?
No.
But yet these things are so hard to do.
Why is that?
Because they suck in the middle of it.
In the thick of it.
You wanna quit.
But I actually, like, usually I enjoy boxing because I've learned that I'm a little bit of an angry person.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to tell people, too, where we first met.
Oh, my gosh. We met on The Bachelorette first episode, or one of the first episodes.
It was the first group date.
It was when you had already become the Bachelorette. It was the first group date, and half of the guys went to the Improv Comedy Club to learn how to do stand-up comedy. Amy Schumer was there. She brought me, Rachel Feinstein, and Bridget Everett to, like, along with her and you, to, like, coach these guys on how to do stand-up, and then they performed stand-up, and then whoever won a date.
I don't even remember who won.
I don't either. I don't know. They were all bad.
They were all really bad, and I was good.
You were good. You killed. You did kill. I remember that.
I remember thinking, like, I was so cool because I went back to your guys' table and you guys were like, "What? That was actually really good."
Caitlin, oh my God, I'm remembering it so much because we all thought you would bomb and that you would be fine because everyone, like, they have the Bachelor Nation kind of fill in the crowd and it was a day show, which is not good for anyone. And we just thought you would be fine, like, you would do fine because everyone's excited to see you and they're going to laugh at anything you say. But you were actually legitimately funny, and that's what was annoying to all of us, because we were like, we don't need this girl who's already, like, the Bachelorette to also be funny. That's what's, like, annoying about you and, like, Jennifer Lawrence and all these people that you're like, they're beautiful and they're funny. It's just like, you don't need to be funny because you've got everything else going on. But thank God you are.
It's because I grew up an ugly child.
It honestly is. That is that. It's a real thing. People that are cute from the get-go don't need to develop personalities, and then they get older and we all age and we all lose beauty, and then they're aging and not funny.
Yeah.
And it sucks for them.
I will say that I've had this conversation with my girlfriend because she's funny too. and we're like, God, thank God we have personalities, because, like, you know, getting old sucks.
It blows. I'm sick of it.
I'm sick of it too, and there's nothing we can do about it.
There's nothing. I mean, there's things we can do, but, like, I resent all of them. I'm sick of it. I saw a picture the other day where it was like this Asian couple that met when they were 15, and they took a picture on their first date in front of, like, this statue, and then 50 years later, or, like, it was like something like 70 years later, they'd been married forever, they took a picture of the same statue and it was like them 50 years later or whatever, and it was like, isn't love beautiful? And I was like, no, aging is depressing. That's all I can see in this thing, is that her kneecaps were like so, like, her kneecaps are so gross now, and aging is gross, and people are like, isn't it beautiful? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm still so wrapped up in it.
I try and get down with the aging and being like, okay, like, obviously, I'm like, Botox is great, but I try and be like, you know, we're lucky if we get to live another year, but deep down, I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like it.
No, I don't either. And when I remember when Barbara Bush died, all the pictures of her were like the Barbara Bush we all know, like, old, right? And I'm like, she was once my age and, like, probably had a picture taken where she looked, like, decent as a young woman. But we don't know where those are. And I'm like, oh, if I reach Barbara Bush's age and I die, there will be no pictures of me now. It'll be all me at Barbara Bush age. And it's like, why can't you pick the picture that is next to your goddamn casket and that gets plastered all over the news so that you can be remembered the way that you want to be?
Okay, when you die, I'm going to make sure that it's the hottest picture ever shown of you.
Thank you so much. I would totally trust you to pick out the picture used of me in every news outlet. Thank you so much. I will do the same for you and make sure it is a great picture.
It'll be the one from Today of Us.
Yes, yes, it'll totally be. Yeah, because we die doing this podcast.
All right, guys, there are two things I can always rely on to support me. My Vinos and my Third Love bra. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. They offer more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. Plus, you can skip the trip and find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder, order and try on at home, so there's no more of those awkward fitting room experiences. The Fit Finder quiz is super easy. You just answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit. Believe it or not, it's actually fun, and it takes less than a minute to complete. Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it to the test. If you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to women in need. I love that. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. Third Love even has a team of expert fit stylists who are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit, available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. They have straps that won't slip and tagless labels, so there are no itching. They're lightweight, super thin. My favorite part, memory foam cups to mold to your shape, and are proprietary to Third Love. And introducing the newest member to the Third Love family, their new line of incredibly soft, smooth, and breathable cotton bras. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/vine to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your purchase. That's thirdlove.com/vine for 15% off today.
You look really cute today, and I'm like, told you how I had boxing class and didn't brush my teeth, so...
No, I had to do like a documentary before this, so I was on camera for that. And I wanted to look cute for this because we're going to take a picture probably, and then it's like, you got a lot of hot guys on watching you, and I'm single and got to put myself out there, so...
You should date a bachelor guy.
I'm trying. I've been trying. I love bachelor guys. I've dipped my toe in the world, first on your episode, and then I've become friends with a lot of people through different bachelor podcasts. Those guys are so hot, and they're like, and they're fame hungry. So I'm like, I can give them kind of that a little, like the more famous I get, the more I can get in with them. Listen, I'm trying is what I'm saying. I was in love with Ben Higgins, like legit in love with him from the second I saw him on screen. I was so upset because I looked back on the episode that we did on your show, and they split all the guys that were vying for your love into two groups, and he wasn't in the group that day, and I didn't know him at that point, and you know, I wouldn't have gone after him on your episode, but I'm just like, I could have planted a seed.
Yeah.
You know, I could have just been like, but I didn't meet him. Turns out he's like, he's in love now and like in a good relationship. I've seen it on Instagram, but I've been secretly in love with him from afar for so long. So what was it like to kiss him?
He was actually a great kisser. He surprised me because on camera, I think he tried to be like really like Perfect Ben, and that became his nickname, the Perfect Ben on The Bachelor. But like when the cameras are off, like he's a little saucy, like a little edgy.
Really? Yeah. Oh my God, that makes me like him even more. And by the way, I tried to get in with him. Like I talked to one of the producers and I was like, hey, we're friends. Can you set me up with Ben? I really think he's cute. And you can tell that he probably did go to Ben and was like, hey, this girl likes you. And the natural thing for what would happen next is he would follow me on Instagram and then we would DM each other. That's what I saw. And then we'd get married and all this stuff would happen. There was no follow back, so I just assumed that's how you know if a guy's interested in you. If he's, number one, if he follows you back, or like if he follows you, and then there's a DM slide, and then the number one indication is he watches your stories.
Oh, that's so true, but did you even try to slide into the DMs?
No, I don't initiate anything. I've given up on initiation completely.
Really?
Yeah, come after me.
But I feel like Ben is the kind of guy who you'd have to slide into his.
Really? Okay, well, when this relationship inevitably fails, which they always do, actually, he seems very in love right now. But
that's the honeymoon phase, and it's Instagram.
Yes. You're so right. Yeah. After, what is that?
That reminds me of Ben. He's one of Adam's best friends, and he's been...
Who's Adam?
Oh,
that's your boyfriend? Okay, well, he's really cute. I'd entertain it. Thank you so much.
But he's not a bachelor guy.
Yeah. You know, but those, I don't know. I just I like to get to know a guy before I even, like, if you were to set me up with this guy that you just showed me, I would be nervous to go set up with him because it would be all under the, I would have to get to know him in that moment. And what if I don't like him, you know, and then I'm on a date with him or I have to go on this date with this guy I don't like. That's why I like the bachelor guys, because I'm like, I feel like I know them, and then I could just go on a date with them and be like, I already know you. That's why I'm constantly on Raya, and I'm not looking for new guys. I'm looking for guys that I already know from TV or from podcast. Like,
is Raya, is that what it's called? Raya?
Celebrity, in quotes.
How do you get on that? Like, you have to
apply and like they have to, you have to have like so many articles written about you or something?
I don't know. I think it was all about like your Instagram at first, and now it's like I've had to approve my friends that are asking. You have to like be friends with someone who's already on Raya, and they have to give you a but the thing is, Raya is not celebrities. I thought it was like going to be like just this. I heard Joshua Jackson was on it, and I have seen him on there, but there's not many Joshua Jacksons. There's like a couple famous people on it. Most of it is just, I call it, Raya is just DJs jumping off of yachts, because it's just guys posting pictures of themselves jumping off of yachts that they don't own.
Is that a thing, to post a picture jumping off a yacht?
Oh, yeah. It's a common thing that you see on Raya, is like guys like on yachts, jumping off of yachts, like doing the worm at a wedding, being at a picture with Emily Ratajkowski. Like people just throw, one guy I just saw on Raya had like Gigi Hadid like on his shoulders. And it's like all these like, it's all DJs that are friends with supermodels, but like aren't banging them.
Right.
And they use them as like, look, I'm friends with this beautiful girl, even though she wouldn't f***ing touch me in a million years. Yeah. But will you?
Hey, people do that on like Tinder and stuff now. Like people will send me screenshots and they'll be like, yeah, they'll either use my picture, or they'll like have met me one time and use a picture like, oh look, I'm friends with Caitlin from The Bachelorette, and then they'll be like, my cousin actually did it. He put me a picture of me and him.
He's smart.
Yeah,
he's smart, because guess what, if I see you in a picture with your cousin, I'm like, oh wait, he either knows her or she approves of him. I love her, so he must be cool. And now it gives me a reason to talk to him. It gives me a thing that I can be like, you know Caitlin from the, you know, like, oh. It's a way of peacocking.
It's a segue. It's a peacock move. Yeah. Yes. Oh.
You're like a feather boa or ski goggles. You're just an accessory that guys use to get girls to talk to them.
I mean, I'm not mad at that, because if it turns into a beautiful relationship, hey, I was part of that.
Yeah, exactly. I do it after shows when I take pictures. Guys make jokes like, because I do a bunch of jokes about guys' profiles, because they're just garbage. Like the fact that any of these guys get laid based on their profiles is disgusting to me.
And that's so funny.
Guys' profiles are the worst, because guys don't take pictures of themselves. They don't have girlfriends being like, you look so cute right now, just hold still.
Yeah.
So guys have like two pictures of themselves, which isn't enough, because it's all based on the picture. And then they write something stupid like, my hobbies are whiskey and tacos. And it's like, those aren't hobbies, those are nouns. Like, and just write nothing. No girl has ever been like, I don't want to this guy, and then on in the middle of a left swipe been like, but his mom says he's cute, or whatever he writes about his mom. No one's ever been you've never changed your mind by them writing some quippy thing. So I always just say, write nothing. Have pictures of yourself like at a wedding where you're like, it's a candid shot, you're in a suit.
Not doing the worm.
No, don't do the worm, because I know you think you're posting that and you're like, she's gonna think I'm the life of the party. And I'm like, no, you're the liability of the party. You're the guy I bring to a situation. You're the guy I bring to a concert, and in the middle of the slow song, a Dave Matthews concert, you go, I love you, Dave. Have you ever been with the I love you, Dave guy, where you're like, oh my god, this f***ing idiot decides to scream out during a song about Dave's dead sister? This isn't the time. Know the context. And also, you're not going to be on the live album. I know you think you're famous right now. Listen to Trippin' Billy's at the Gorge. I'm the dude who screams. Oh, Dave.
There's so many of those guys.
So many. And Dave hates you. I always want to go, Dave hates you. I know you just said I love you. Dave hates you.
That's so true. But you know Dave hates those guys.
Yes. Anyone who shouts out. It's just like, but these guys with these profiles. So after the shows, they'll always like make jokes of like, I'm going to put this picture on my profile. And I'm like, do it. You'll actually get more from this than you will you posting with your niece whose face you've scratched out because you want to conceal her identity. But that really just looks like you are posting a creepy picture from your, you know, solo trip to Thailand. Why is that child's face blacked out? This looks like you're doing an illegal activity. Some guys write, this isn't my kid. And it's like, easy, bro. I don't care if it is. Guys are so weird.
My gosh, I feel like that should be like a segment on your podcast where you like describe their profile picture and then come up with your own bio for them.
That's such a good idea. I've done swiping on these apps because I just cannot. I've never been. I run into guys that I've banged on these apps, and I go, I would never have banged you based on this. This is a terrible representation of who you are. Yeah, like you're not. You're doing. How is anyone gonna you. Like,
they're doing themselves a disservice.
You need to hand your profile over to a girlfriend of yours who's also on these apps, because she'll be able to give you a good idea of what you're doing wrong, because you're doing everything. Guys don't know how they're represented on these things.
Oh my gosh, that is funny. This is so new.
I learned something too from doing these apps. A male perspective is that a lot of times my biggest fear in going on and doing online dating or whatever it is was that my picture, I would mislead someone by posting too hot of a picture, and then they see me in person and they're like, yikes. My biggest fear, right? It's your biggest fear. So I led with very representative pictures where I was like, this is me. Like, there's no way that this is false advertising. Like, this is me. But then I realized that every girl is lying in their pictures, like, especially the first picture. You got to come out like ba-bam. Like, it has to be, you have to be the hottest you've ever looked in a lying way in your first picture. Because if you're not, then guys think that your first picture that you've done, picked as a representation of you, is the best you can do. And they go, oh my God, if that's the best. So you have to put in a picture like that. And it changes everything when you do.
Okay, 60 seconds. That is exactly how long this commercial lasts. And you know what else you can do in about a minute. I've told you before, you can get an offer on your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, mix in a few push-ups, or just listen to the sound of my soothing voice, you can get a True Cash offer. And best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. You answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate True Cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. It really is that easy. And after that, you can bring your car in. They'll check it out with you together, the two of you. You can ask questions and get the answers you need, so there's no surprises, and then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today.
Okay, online dating is like, seems more challenging than like being the Bachelorette. Like, this just seems like a big job. What's the craziest celebrity you've met on Raya? What is that? Is that what it's called? Raya?
Yeah, it's Raya. Who have I matched? Oh, you know, I matched with the lead singer of Counting Crows, and then he messaged me, "Hi, Nikki," and I never wrote back because I was just like too scared to deal with it. Even though, he's too old for me, and like I don't want to date a musician, but. I love the Counting Crows so much, and like, as high school me is like, Adam Duritz from the Counting Crows, you match with them. So like, there's those kind of celebrities on there that you're just like, I just want to match with them to just know that
it's I was gonna say, that's like a little ego booster, like that you know, oh, just knowing that he's, you know, looking at you and wants to go on a date, you're like, that's enough for me.
That's all this is like, I get matches and then I get the endorphins of the match, but I never follow through on it because meeting anyone and having a actual intimacy is terrifying. And that's why I would love to go on The Bachelorette, because I've been dying to be The Bachelorette. It's a true dream, I think, to be. I just want to have everything I do on. I'm much more comfortable being myself on camera or microphone than I am in like on a date with no cameras or mics. Like, I just want to date in front of cameras.
Why don't you just have your own series of you dating, like on like The Bachelorette?
Well, I've asked so many times to do The Bachelorette, and they just keep going, you'd be too picky, which means I'm too old. And I get it. I'm 34. It's done for me. I can't do The Bachelorette. So you're right. I'm pitching actually dating shows where I'm like, I'll do it myself if you won't let me know.
Wait, that's amazing, because I would definitely watch that. Like, definitely watch that.
Yeah, I'm going to be getting fingered. I'm going to be hooking up. Which is what I loved about you.
That I got fingered?
Yeah, I mean, I assume you did. I assume you caught some stuff. Caught in a good way. Caught a finger, caught some D. That's what I loved about you. You broke the mold and were like actually a single woman doing what everyone would want to do in that scenario, which is like,
I didn't really know how to do anything else. Like, I didn't I was like, wait, if I have this opportunity, I'm going to do it the way I would really do it.
Can you believe you went through that? Do you ever like reflect and just go, what the f- was that, dude?
I can't even reflect. Like, I can't, my brain like doesn't allow me to go there. When I think about it, I just have a full blown panic attack and like can't function. Like, my brain actually doesn't let me think about it.
It really? Like, are you, you watch it now though, right? Do you ever think about yourself like, I was doing all, I've been through all of this. Is it hard to watch now for you?
It was just, I think Becca's season was the first one that I could watch and like actually enjoy it without having like post-traumatic stress.
Oh my God. And what originally got you to be on the show?
Like one of my girlfriends signed me up to be on The Bachelor, and she was like, they'll take like two Canadians, you should try. And so she sent in everything for me, and then it was for Juan Pablo's season.
Yes.
And then they called me a year later for Chris Soule's season, and then he dumped me and I became The Bachelorette.
Oh my God, you getting dumped in that sorry. Dude, I'll never forget, and I told you this when we did and you don't remember, but because I had to make a point, because I'll never forget you sobbing, but responsibly putting on your seatbelt. Still, I was like, she still cares about safety, even though she is devastated right now and just sobbing in that beautiful dress. And you looked so beautiful in that scene. But I just remember you going like, it's not fair, but like working on the seatbelt and trying to get it to work, but crying. It was the realest shit I've ever seen. And I was like, because I care about seatbelt safety so much, I'm always paying attention. And so when you put that seatbelt on, I was like, I love her so much, because you know what, she's gonna survive this because she's got a goddamn seatbelt on. So emotionally, physically, she's getting through this.
It was like, that's a
metaphor. Wait, that's actually well, that was deep.
Shit, man. Oh God, that's actually so funny, because I remember like struggling with it too a little bit, like needing to get it on, and I was just like, come on, seatbelt, like not now.
It was such a good moment, because it was just, it made it so real to me. I wasn't worried about you. Like that showed me that like she's seeing beyond this. Like most girls, you just be like, I just want to get in a wreck. I don't even care anymore. You know when you're getting broken up with, yeah, and you think everything's over, and you're like, I should just walk into traffic. But you were like, still putting on your seatbelt. You're like, I gotta meditate really quick. You're like taking care of yourself.
Oh, that's actually really funny. And I saw a therapist right after. Like, you like pull in, the car pulls in to like your hotel where you have to go pack up your things, and a therapist is like waiting for you in there to like talk to you.
Is it Neil Lane?
He just does it all.
Yeah, you're like, you again.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you're not getting that right.
No, the therapist was like, why are you crying? And I was like, because I just got dumped. And she was like, oh, Caitlin, he would have bored you to death anyways. And she got fired.
For saying that?
No, but I'm sure she was just too real with people.
But that is such a good point. Wait, who was the guy? I forget. Chris Soule's. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, isn't it so funny? Because I related to your experience when I did Dancing with the Stars, because I did it this past season. I got first, voted off, and it was... I like to say it that way. I did. I got asked to leave first, and it was truly more devastating than I could have ever imagined. Like, when I signed up for the show, if you would have been like, you're going to get first voted off, I'd be like, ah, that doesn't seem great, but who cares? It's a dumb dancing show. I'm not going to care. I cared so much. And you eventually get over it, I've heard, but I'm not. I'm still, like, so... I loved it so much, and when you're on a reality show, and I can only imagine if you're at the point where you're, like, I mean, at what point were you asked to leave? I mean, it was down to four women?
Three.
Okay, that... I don't know if I could function afterwards. I mean, how... I cared so much being the 13th place on a reality dance show. Yeah. If love was at stake...
Yeah.
I mean, dude. That's
it. It was actually really devastating, like, in that moment. And I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, I'm that girl that I always made fun of on The Bachelor. I'm like, oh my God, you didn't even like the guy. Like, come on, get over it. Like, why are you crying that hard? And I'm like, I'm that girl right now. Like, and fully accepting it. But I can't... I feel like, is it a little bit of a like ego thing, or did you just enjoy it so much? Because to me, part of it was ego. I was like, this is embarrassing.
No, it was a completely... I remember looking at the floor, knowing that Tom Bergeron was about to say Nikki and Gleb, because he was like, the first couple voted off Dancing with the Stars. And then there was he waited like 30 seconds before he said our name. And I just knew, and I was like, he's going to say Nikki and Gleb. And I'm looking at like the floor. I remember like the floor slat I was looking at, and I was like, you're on live TV and you're on a dance show, and you tried really hard, which is humiliating, and you're in a f***ing leotard. And Erin Andrews is about to be like, oh, I'm so sorry you're leaving. Even though she never talked to me off stage or even looked at me. So I'm sure she was just busy. But, you know, and I'm sure she didn't know I was on the show, even though I was in a f***ing tutu and walked by you a million times on a show where you could have said hi to me, but chose not to. And then you're going to pretend that you're sad that I'm leaving. Yeah, shade. No, but like that whole thing of like it was it's embarrassing. Yeah. It is embarrassing to try. That's the thing. If I would have not tried, when people do that show and they just like don't show up for practice, I f***ing tried my hardest. And to be asked to just to know that there are people that are going to outdo you that aren't as good, not good at dancing, but not as like passionate and don't deserve it. Yeah. It's all this deserving. So it is ego.
Is that show political? Like, do they have little behind, like, do they know who they want to win or like, do they help it in any way? Or is it pretty true to what it is?
Here's what I can glean from it. I think it does come down. They cannot legally, I think it is half of the voting scores and half of how America votes. However, the show has been on 27 seasons. So they know based on how they get the judges to grade your performance and what the judges say and how they present you in a package and how they present you when they put it all together, they know how America will vote based on those things. So they can skew the votes based on how they put it together. And that is how I think I got eliminated. Because let me tell you, the first episode, I did my dance and I didn't fall. That's all I wanted to do was not fall. Like, I got it. I didn't miss any steps terribly. I wasn't a good dancer, but like, I got through it and I had never danced before. So what I did based on what I could do going in was leaps and like, I showed more improvement than anyone on the show, by far, if you would have seen from beginning to end. But because I'm not a good dancer, they tore me to shreds, the judges. And I didn't know. I was like happy. Yeah. I was happy with I was like, oh, I did good. And then they go, because I go, I'm a dancer. And of course I was joking because I'm not a dancer. Yeah. And they go, you are not a dancer. You never will be. You never have been one. That was sloppy. You looked all, oh, what did he say? He said, my biggest fear was being told that I was awkward. And Len goes, you looked awkward. The whole thing was awkward. And I was just like, I'm a 34-year-old woman in a red sequined onesie, like a bathing suit, essentially, on TV next to the hottest guy who's ever talked to me, let alone touch me. And now I'm being called awkward, a bad dancer. It was humiliating.
That's awful.
They were so mean. So then America votes based on the what the judges say. And I'm being nothing but nice because I want America to like me. And everyone's like, Nikki, you get away from the sex humor. Like, this is ABC, Disney. And so I was like,
they said that to me too.
I want to be just so well behaved. I just want to be whatever they want me to be. So I was, the judges were saying the things and I was like, thank you. I will. They know better than me. So I was going to take their note and apply it the next night because we had to perform two nights in a row. And
you
whatever they said.
That opportunity?
Well, I did. I did, and I did the dance the next night, which the dance the next night was essentially the same dance because I couldn't learn two dances. So he just changed the music and, like, changed a couple steps. I, like, can't dance for shit. So he knew what he was doing. Glad my partner. So he gave me the same dance. I did it. The dance was shit the next night. The first night, I felt really good about it. Like, I got, not good, but it got through. The second night, I was like, oh, that was whatever. I f***ed it up, but who cares? I go to judge's table, and I'm ready this time to, like, because I know that they were just so mean to me the night before and I wasn't ready to be mean back. But I'm like, that's my talent, is being f***ing funny and mean and roasty. So the next night I had lines prepared for every one of the judges after they said something mean. And I didn't throw the dance in any way to then be mean. But then they were so nice to me because they were told by producers that they knew I was leaving. So they were not going to kick a horse when she's down. And so they were like, the last night the dance controlled you. Tonight you controlled the dance. And I was like, no, I didn't. I don't even know dance. And I know what I just did was shit. And now you're lying to me and being nice because you know I'm going to get kicked off.
Yeah.
You. Yeah. You. But instead I had to be like, thank you. Thank you so much. You're so nice to me. And then they voted me off. And I was so angry because I just loved the show. I mean, bottom line, I can say all I want about like how they kicked me off and how I'm bitter about it. But I'm only so upset because I loved it. I loved it. I love reality TV.
Sad. I feel like you're supposed to be on it longer. Like, I feel like,
I loved it. I truly loved that show for everything it was. And I really wanted to become a better dancer. The way that I improved from the day one to the first show, you know, the first show in which I was voted off immediately as soon as they could get me off. I worked so hard, and I would have gotten better. I would have, if I got good in that amount of time, it would have given me confidence to then be so much better. I mean, it
would have been like the underdog. Like, everyone would have been rooting for you because they would have like watched how you grew.
So I think literally, you know why it was mostly embarrassing, Caitlin, was because I really didn't want to get first voted off because I said in interviews leading up to the show, like, they would be like, what are your goals for the show? And I'm like, to bang my partner, which he was married. So that was eliminated immediately. I was like, aren't you supposed to fall in love with your partner and bang them on this show? Like, isn't that the untold truth of this show, that everyone f-ing falls in love with their partner? And I'm not allowed, like, I can't, he's married and not interested. But, like, even so, like, they gave me the married guy. I even told the producer on the phone, I'm like, my goals are, I want to bang my partner. Like, I want to bang a hot dancer. I want to have, like, an intense relationship based on us, like working together. So I had just gotten out of a relationship where I didn't get touched, like, in 5 years as much as I got touched in half a practice with Gleb. I mean, like, I was in a relationship where it was just not affectionate. He's not a touchy guy, you know? Like, I signed up for it. I'm not judging him. Right. But that's what in my love language is, like, touch and money. And and so then I was thrust on Dancing with the Stars, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to fall in love with my partner. It's just going to be, like, this showmance. It'll be over as soon as I'm voted off. But that's what I wanted. And I also wanted, and I said this in interviews, a lot of the time they were like, so are you going to win? And I was like, no way in hell am I winning. No way in hell am I getting even close to the semis. I go, I will have won if I'm just not first voted off.
No!
I said that so many times, Caitlin. It was like, it was almost like the Lady Gaga where she goes like, if there are 100 people in the room and one believes in you, Bradley Cooper. You know when she said that like a million times? Yeah. That's how much I said that. Because I go, there's no way I'm going to be first voted off because I'm not terrible. Like, right. And I'm entertaining enough. They'll keep me around. I'm funny.
Yeah.
But like, I thought Bobby Bones would be the first to go.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
Bobby Bones, I told him, because I remember he and I bonded early on because we were both the worst dancers on the show and we had no dancing experience. And I remember being like, we're going to be first off. And he's like, no, I'm going to win. And I was like, no, you're not. I was like, that is so funny. You think you're going to win. You suck. I was like, yeah, I'm going to win, Bobby. I'm going to win. And then I go back for the finale. He's in the finals. And I go, Bobby, I had no idea I could have won.
Yeah.
Like, you are the first person on the show who's won the show that is a bad dancer. Yeah. And everyone was like, you can't say that. And I go, he sucks.
Yeah.
He was a terrible dancer. And he won Dancing with the Stars. And that's why people that are fans of the show are upset.
That's so true. That's so true. But then they're upset if you're a dancer and you win too, because then it's not fair.
Can't win.
We'll be right back with more Off the Vine. Great therapy.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's face it, sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming, like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and your car fan is blasting, all while you're trying to find the perfect parking spot. But then again, sometimes multitasking is easy, like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try and you might just find getting the rate and coverage you need is easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website to get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare, so it's simple to choose the rate and coverages you like. Press play on comparing auto rates. Quote at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
All right, everyone, if you like my show, then you are going to love Now What with Jessica Graff on Podcast One. And right now, the former winner of The Amazing Race and my friend is getting all the details of this season by calling up players that get eliminated each week for some juicy mini interviews. Download new episodes of Now What with Jessica Graff every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
This is Off the Vine, Grape Therapy.
Did you do the show? Did you do Dancing with the Stars?
That's a touchy subject.
I know. Why haven't you done it?
Because when they asked me to do it, I was still under contract with The Bachelorette, and Mike Fleiss wouldn't let me.
I was going to say, because I was thinking about all that on the way here, I was like, I don't think she's done it, and I know she's a fucking great dancer. You would have been perfect for that show. And by the way, still on the tape, like, wouldn't you still...
You know, now I think he's still so powerful in ABC that I don't think that I'll ever go on.
Really? They are making a mistake by not having you on. You would, first of all, because you come with a background in dance, which is like totally permissible on the show now. Like, no one, I mean, there are some people that go, oh my God, she's a dancer, why is she on it? But that's who wins, and that's who goes far, and that's who we want now to see. And you have the ABC connection. Yeah. If anyone from ABC is listening, I mean, and I know you are, why has Caitlin Bristow not been on Dancing with the Stars? That is casting Dina Katz. Yeah. Come on, girl. I know. Well, Dina has got to be on your side.
She always was. And then I was told, like, no other Bachelor or Bachelorettes will ever do it because they didn't want the show. I don't know. They didn't want us to have fame after the show or something. And then Nick did it right after me.
Nick did it. Grocery Store Joe did it on my season. They didn't want you guys to have fame after it. I mean, you're... It all goes back to ABC. If you're famous after that, it's going to shoot back to them eventually because people are going to be like, oh, where did she get her start? Like,
it was an excuse.
You know what this thing is? It's like, I never understand this business in TV because you get, like, say you have a TV show on MTV. They won't let you have a TV show, even if you have time to do TV, anywhere else because they just want you. And it's like, wouldn't that benefit you for me to go on another network? It's almost like it goes against, that would only benefit ABC to put you on there because people love you. Clearly they voted you the Bachelorette, and then you, like, it doesn't make sense. So I don't understand this business a lot, but I do think you will be on Dancing with the Stars.
And
I think you will win Dancing with the Stars. And I see you partnering up with, like, God, you should get Gleb is good. Gleb was my guy. He's good. But you'd be good with anyone. I mean, you probably still have your people in mind. But, like, you
need Derek still an option?
Derek doesn't do it much anymore, but I bet he would come out of retirement for you for sure.
Really?
Yeah, I bet.
That would be a dream.
Yeah. We got to get you on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, I mean, you know what? I felt that when you said it.
I think it's so in the books for you. I can't believe you're still into it. The fact that you want to do it, and you should want to do it because it's the best thing I've ever done, and you will have so much fun. And you're a dancer. Like, you have dancing history, and you're also funny and, like, fun. Like, you're gold.
God, can we hang out more?
All the time. I want to see you on that show, dude. I can't wait till you're going to do that show.
I'm so, now I'm all pumped up. I'm like... Like,
yes,
you went. Salsa out of here.
If you're listening to this, hey, well, tweet about it. Caitlin.
Oh, I have.
No, but I'm telling your fans, tweet at Dancing ABC. We want Caitlin on Dancing with the Stars season 28. And it will happen because they listen to their fans.
Yes. And my Vinos, the listeners, they are passionate people and they will do this. Yeah,
they will.
Okay, well, so being on TV, let's talk about your Netflix show.
Yeah.
Tell me everything.
Well, I don't have a Netflix show. I was on The Fix on Netflix, which is on now. I'm taping an hour special for Netflix coming up in 2 months in LA, May 22nd. If you're in LA, I'm going to be taping it. You can get tickets at NikkiGlaser.com. They're not released yet, but just hold that date. It's a Wednesday night in LA. If you have fans that love to laugh and love free tickets to a Netflix taping and they might be on camera, please be in the audience. I need good laughers there. I need cool women that get body, you know, sex humor, whoever your listeners are.
That's them.
That's what I would think. Like, I would love you guys to be at my show, May 22nd, Netflix taping. I have a half hour on Netflix now. I host a radio show every day on Sirius XM. So if you have Sirius or have a rental car, tune into Channel 95 every morning from 10 to 12 Eastern. It's called You Up. And then we have a podcast version of that show.
Yeah. And what do you guys talk about?
Like, at comedy and sex and, like, being depressed and, like, my feelings, like, just the way you are, like,
I love that
honest talk.
Why are you on so early though? Because I'm like sleeping at that time.
It's way early. That's why we do a podcast version. So we call the best of from the show, and then and so every Friday, the You Up podcast is what it's called.
When I'm traveling, that's going to be my new thing. I'm going to listen to your podcast.
I would love that. Please listen to it.
I feel like this is, first of all, I feel like I have like front row to a private comedy show right now. Like, you're hilarious. I always takes me down a notch when I hang out with funny people because I'm like, I'm not that funny.
You totally are. It's like you either get it or you don't, and you're one of those that like, and that's why I remember when Amy asked us to come on The Bachelorette, and we didn't know if it was going to be you or Britt, and we were. I mean, you're just, that's why we chose you. I'm not putting it against anybody, but like, you're the girl that like, you represented us on The Bachelorette. Like, you represented the I'd like to pat myself on the back, but like a cool girl that's just real. And like, there wasn't anything fake about you. Like, you're just, yeah.
I appreciate that.
And you're funny, and we all knew it, and we were all excited to, and that's why your challenge was stand-up comedy. Like that's why they put that as the first thing, I think.
I would love to get roasted, because you've roasted, like, Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Bruce Willis. And the Rob Lowe roast. I did both of those, yeah.
How fun is it to just rip people apart like that?
It's so fun in the moment, but it's like the next to Dancing with the Stars is the hardest thing I've ever done. Like, preparing for it, like, yeah. Getting, because you're writing jokes that are only for a specific event. Like, when I'm writing jokes, it's for my act. I can do it every night and I can put it any place and it's personal. But when you're writing jokes about people, it's really hard to work those jokes out because the people aren't there when you're doing sets leading up to it. So you're like, hey, imagine that Bruce Willis is right here and I'm about to say really mean things about him. And they can't give you the same kind of laugh that you're going to get in the room at the event. So it's hard to recreate the conditions that are going to prepare you for the roast itself. So it's kind of like you're just winging it up there. It's for the first time, like, telling jokes that you're like, is this going to work? I hope it does. And luckily I've put in the work ahead of time, but it's I've been in the middle of preparing for a roast and told my friends, like, remind me never to do this again, because I've never worked harder.
I think I've told this story on my podcast before, but I met Jeff Ross.
Yeah.
And he roasted me while I was serving him at this restaurant. And he said, server A, he said something like, oh, real career woman. And I was like, oh my God. But then he said something nice. He said, he was like, what else do you do besides serving? And I said, oh, I'm actually like a nanny for a little boy. And he said, oh, if you were my nanny, I'd suck my thumb till I was 42.
That's hilarious. Yeah. He has a way of doing, of roasting where you don't feel terrible about yourself afterwards. Although that can happen at roast. Like, I went into the last roast being like, I remember doing red carpet stuff beforehand, and there was some person that interviewing me being like, are you ready for what they're going to say about you tonight? And I was like, oh, I haven't even thought about that. Like, honestly, I've been working so hard about what I'm going to say about other people that I didn't think about the insults that were about to come my way. And the first roast, for whatever reason, it didn't get to me. They were like, you have a flat ass and you're not funny. And like, yes, I have a flat ass. I don't give a shit. And also, like, saying I'm not funny, like, it's just not true. It's just like a dumb joke. Or they do the joke of like, who's she? And I'm like, I'm a rising star and you're a falling one. So that's actually a compliment. You and this whole thing of and I get it a lot. And I'm sure you got to get it on things where people aren't as familiar with who you are. And you do a show and people go, who is she? And it's like, I'm sorry. Do you know everyone that you've ever... You have to learn new people in show business. Yeah. We weren't all born knowing Tom Hanks, although it feels like we were. At some point, you didn't know who Tom Hanks was, and now you do. Yeah. And you don't go, who is he? When you first... Like, sorry that you don't know who I... I get so mad when people go, who are you? And I'm like, why are you watching my live Instagram then?
Yeah.
Who are you? You're wasting your life on someone you don't even know? So I got a lot of those jokes the first roast I did, and then the second roast I did, we taped it in August, I guess. There were so many jokes about me being like not pretty, and it was the devastating. Like, a lot being like, you got a good body, but then you turn, like, one of the jokes is like, Sybil Shepherd was saying, I saw Nikki in the bathroom before the show, and from behind I was like, is that a supermodel? And then she turned around and I go, nope, that's a comic. And I was like, what? It's like you're finding out in front of an audience of people that you're not as cute as you thought you were. Like, I've always had confidence of like, I know I'm not a supermodel, but I'm not like an ugly bitch or whatever. But I walked away being like, I mean, I was at a plastic surgeon the next week getting drawn on my face. Like, I'm not kidding you. It really, and I remember hearing Sarah Silverman do a roast, and they made a bunch of old jokes about her. And she said that It really shook her up afterwards. And I remember being like, but you're not old and you know that. You're smarter than these people. What are you talking about, Sarah? Get over it. And then I was on the other side of it and I was like, oh my God, they said things about my looks that I kind of have always thought, but maybe didn't think other people saw. And you
that's the worst to me is when people point out your flaws that you've always been insecure about and you're like, but people probably don't notice that. And then they do. And then it's on TV.
Yes. Yes. Or you're reading it on your comments and you're like, oh, okay, that is a thing. And I should make an appointment about getting that lasered off or injected or whatever the you can do to fix. I resent that there's something to fix everything now. I'm like, I want to go back to the days where there was no options and you were just who you were. Now you can. Now if you don't have an ass, you can go get one. And I'm like, I'd rather the option of just not having one. Like, I just don't. Can I just not have one? They're like, you don't have to. It's like, oh God. Okay, let me look into what you can do.
I'm like, I want you to roast me so badly.
I don't know what the f- I would say about you to roast you. I really don't. I mean, if I set, this is the thing about roasting. For me, it doesn't come naturally. Like, I have to, I'd have to look it up. And that's the scary part, Caitlin, is that the jokes about me that were so mean, Sybil Shepherd didn't write that joke. There were men sitting in a room staring at a picture of me, writers for the roast, looking at me just being like, what does she look like? Can we compare her to Owen Wilson? Like, they are thinking all day about how the meanest things about you. And it's like, that's what I would have to do to you.
Okay, I don't want you to roast me anymore.
I don't want to look at your face and be like, what could I take apart? Because there's no part of me that would ever do that unless I had to work at you like a math problem. Okay. That's how you have to approach people like you.
That's fair. I actually like that response. I thought you were just going to give it to me.
No, I would never. First of all, I'd never do that. And honestly, I don't even know what I would say. I was like thinking like, Jeff Ross roasted her. Like, what did he say? I'm like almost jealous that he could think of something because I can't.
Yeah, you made fun of me for serving. It was really funny. But also, I was like, oh.
No.
Am I going places? Or am I? Yeah.
It hurts.
It does. And I mean, people really go to town on those roasts. Like the Justin Bieber one.
Oh, yeah.
So funny.
I mean, I said some things that I was, and then you realize, oh shit, I've been saying these things in front of audiences like when they weren't there, and now they're sitting right there, and I have to tell, like I told Kevin Pollak. Do you know who Kevin Pollak is? I was like, I love your impressions. You do an amazing Robin Williams. I just wish you'd finish it. And so, and I go, I know we've, all I'm saying is we've lost a lot of greats to suicide lately, and it's time to lose some OKs. It's still my favorite joke I've ever written, but it was like so mean to tell someone to kill themselves. I mean, like, obviously I don't want Kevin Pollak to kill himself. It's just like the meanest thing I could ever say. But like to actually look at someone and say that was, it's like not easy to do.
You're like choking up like,
struggle.
Like, oh my so God. Hard. That actually would be so challenging. That's hilarious. Yeah. Do you have a confession for me maybe?
I thought about so many things on the way here, and I'm like, I'm such an open book that I rarely have anything to confess. But if someone in your audience may not know who I am, they may have not heard me confess this before, and I think it could benefit some women, is that I've pooped on a guy during sex before.
During full blown poop?
No, like just a little bit. Like, here's what I'm gonna say. I if you've watched my Netflix half hour, I talk extensively about how I like anal sex, and it's not like people now think that like I do it every time. I literally have not done it even once in the past year. It's just like a thing that if I'm in a committed relationship when we get to that point, once in a while I'd like to try it out or whatever. It feels good, and I'm sorry. And the thing I'll say is people go, it hurts, and I'm like, it hurts good, man. It hurts good. Like, if you like, if you're a girl, like, and not everyone's like this, I realize, but like sometimes, you know, when you take a shit and you're like, that felt so amazing. Like, it almost makes your eyes cross. It feels so good. That's what anal sex feels like, is those poops.
Wow.
Yeah, it feels great. So
I've never done it.
It's not for everyone. And I will say that, like, you need a lot of lube. You need to be relaxed, all of those things. But, and I will say the biggest, I think a lot of girls say, oh, I'm scared, or it hurts, that's why I don't like it. When really the big fear is you're going to poop on a guy. Like, That's a huge fear, and it should be, because what a devastating thing to happen. Yeah. It was my biggest fear, and then it happened. And it didn't happen the first time. It didn't happen the second time. It didn't happen the 20th time, but the 21st time, or whatever it was, like, it was down the road. Yeah. And it, when it finally happened, where it was like, he had to stop midway and be like, we have a situation. I remember he said, we have a situation. I was like,
not what you want to hear when there's a penis in your bum.
And then you just... I remember being, like, so devastated by it and thinking, first of all, I'll never tell a soul this. I'll probably have to kill this man right now because this, I can't live, I can't go on having pooped on a person. And let me just say, it's not a big deal. First of all, they're never going to tell anyone. You think they're going to tell everyone? They're so embarrassed they got pooped on. They're going to take it to the grave. Most of the time, these guys take it to the grave. And if they're you in the ass, they're playing with fire. They're gonna get burned. So, like, it is on them. You can't take all the blame and don't feel bad that you're a disgusting person. He put it where that stuff is. And you can't predict your body. You don't know everything that's going on down there. And honestly, I ended up dating that guy for like 5 years. It was like a traumatic moment that we both lived through. And because we got through it, it made us stronger. It was,
you know,
like,
what? I could see that.
It really did. It was like like we were in the towers together. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't mean to compare pooping on someone to 9/11, but it was my personal 9/11. It was like the worst thing to happen to me, and it made me get through it with someone. And honestly, it'll probably happen again in my life. And
I was going to ask, were you scarred from that, or did you do it again?
No, I would do it again. I'll probably poop on someone again, because if I'm ever comfortable with someone enough to have anal sex again, it could always happen. You're never surefire. Like, the outtakes in porn, there must be so much poop in so many outtakes of porn.
I bet you could Google that.
I bet there's people that are jerking off to that kind of porn, right? But let me just say to anyone listening, I wanted to confess today that I've pooped on a guy, so that if you've ever pooped on a guy accidentally, it's okay. You're still a good person. You're not disgusting. You still deserve love. You still deserve to have fun sex. And that guy knew what he was doing going in. And if he never talked to you again, I hope you f***ing ruined his sheets. Yeah, because that's the thing. If a guy never talks to you again because you pooped on him, then good. That guy deserves to be pooped on.
That's actually a good point, because he should love you through anything.
Yes. And so the guys that are going to be assholes about it and make fun of you and tell their friends, good. Yeah. They deserve to be pooped on. Poop on him all day long. Hook up with him again and poop on
just
him.
Just to poop on him.
Yeah, just to poop on him. I hope everyone poops on him. All I'm saying is that I love that you do confessions, because the things in life that I've looked back on and been like, I'm never going to tell anyone this. And if anyone finds out about this, I'm going to kill myself. Like, I used to be that dramatic in, like, middle school about wetting the bed or whatever it was, that I would be like I would pick my nose and someone would catch me. And I'd be like, if that gets out, I'm going to enroll in a different school. Yeah. And those things now are like have made me famous. Yes. Because I'm able to talk about them so openly, and because everyone feels that way.
That's the best part about the confessions, is everyone gets so nervous to tell me something, and then they see the response from all the listeners of how it happened to them and how they, like, loved hearing that story. I'm like, yes. Oh my gosh, everybody poops on dicks.
Everyone, poop is gonna happen. There's so many holes down there. They all get mixed up. Even if you aren't having anal and some poop comes out, it's okay. You were having a bad day. You didn't know. You came really hard or whatever. It all, like, it's okay. We're all gross. We're all trying to be perfect. We aren't. And the more we talk about these things, the less we feel so disgusting about them. And so I'm glad you have this part of your show.
That's why now when I'm in boxing class and I feel like I'm either gonna poop my pants or throw up, I'm like, okay, well, this will be really funny on the podcast.
Yes, I loved that you said that, because I was like, I love that you, if you had pooped your pants today, I feel like we would be talking about it.
Oh, of course we would. And I'd be excited. I'd be skipping in here excited to tell you about it.
Yes, that's the one thing about aging that I really love, is that these things that used to devastate me and I used to feel so, if anyone finds out, what am I going to do? Now I'm just like, I tell them on a podcast with a bachelorette. Like, what is my life? A bachelorette who I project so much onto. I mean, I look at your Instagram, I'm like, she's probably never even pooped before. And yet, like, I look at someone like you, and I think that that's what's so good about you, is that on Instagram and on TV and stuff, you come across like most people do on TV, which is perfect. And I really do look at you and I project so much onto you. And I'm like, God, she looks so cute there. And her clothes are always so cute. And she always has the perfect accessories. And like, I had to send my assistant to get these for you, Caitlin, for you. Because I thought if you saw my disgusting ear holes without earrings in them, that you wouldn't think I was as cool. I made choices today for Caitlin Bristow because I thought she might like me more if I have this kind of thing. There are choices I made. I can't even point them out, but there are choices I made today for you. And guess what? You don't give a f***. And I know you don't give a f***. But we're still trying. You have perfect little nails. Do you bite your nails?
These nails look like I give a f***.
No, they don't actually, but they are perfect. They still, you don't have little white dots in them. Actually, that one's pretty dirty. Okay. You could just tell people you play guitar.
Oh, you know what's funny is I bought a guitar and then I got fake nails and I couldn't play it. And I was like, oh, and then I've started to say that after I took it, I'm like, you know what? I play guitar. So
you look like an indie musician. Like that's the hand of a girl who has been working the road, maybe the railroad. Now that I think about it, not so much a musician, but like
I have construction worker hands, like a 13-year-old boy construction worker's hands.
Thank God for you. Thank God for Caitlin Bristow because you really, those hands really are. I want to see your feet now.
Oh, I got my feet are cute, but I do bite my toenails.
You bite your toenails?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a confession today, or is that it?
I've told that. That's the thing for me is I. Yes, I'm fresh out. Everybody knows every disgusting story about me. Like, and I bite my toenails, and people, everybody knows that. Like, I just do, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I've never tried it. I'll get into it now that you're.
I should put that on my Instagram story, and then so many people can relate.
And it sounds like you have fun doing it, and it's something I would enjoy. Actually,
I mean, you might as well just try. I'll try anal, and you try biting your toenails.
Let's get back to each other on those two things.
I'm like, is there anywhere to go from there? Like, I think that's the podcast, you know?
I think it has to be.
Well, promote the hell out of yourself. Tell us everywhere we can find you. And Ben Higgins, if you're listening, when your relationship fails, slide.
Listen, Ben, I'll be waiting. Actually, I don't know that we get along. Like, you seem to love God and things like that, and I don't really believe in God. But actually, I think that we could join together and, like, work out something. But, like, I could convince you that there isn't one. But, no. Or I could be convinced. I'm not going to be. But I will pretend to be for you. I will definitely pretend to love the Lord for Ben Higgins. You'll hear me say God and Jesus a lot of times if we spend some alone time together. I'll be screaming both those names. But you can find me at Nikki Glaser on Instagram. I'm very active on Instagram, so follow me on there. NikkiGlaser. And you can hear me on my podcast and my SiriusXM show every single morning. But my podcast, you can just Google you up, Nikki Glaser. Yeah. And I have a ton of stand-up available. Just YouTube me. I've been on Conan a bunch, Fallon, done a lot of stand-up.
You are hilarious.
Thanks.
And for people to go to your show on May 22nd.
Oh, yeah, May 22nd. I'm taping my Netflix special in LA. If you're in May 22nd, NikkiGlaser.com. I'll have details up there soon.
My girls who are listening are going to want to go. After hearing this, they're going to be like, I need to be there. Yeah.
Please, please go. I'm so funny.
My act is so good right now.
Wait, do you ever do this thing? Do you ever wipe and accidentally you're wearing like a long tank top and you wipe? Yeah, you like put your tank top in your vagina and you get like pee on your tank top and then you just have to tuck in your pee tank top? Okay. I had a feeling I wasn't the only one.
Wait, I just thought of a confession from when I was like first got my period and I couldn't figure out how to put a tampon in the hole. And so I was wearing these pads and I went to the bathroom at school and I went to like lean over. Like, okay, so picture me sitting on the toilet with my underwear just pulled down, right? So this is normal for you. With your underwear, like, right at your knees.
Yeah.
And I went to, like, pull up my pants, and I was wearing a white shirt, and I just leaned right into my bloody pad.
Yeah, I
did. And I didn't have a sweater or anything to cover it up.
Thing. Yeah. What did you do?
I started wearing tampons.
Oh, my God.
You know what I did? I just honestly, I remember panicking and I came out of the bathroom stall and I did soap and water and it wasn't going anywhere. Like, I was just making it worse. And then I just ran home. I lived across the street from school.
Oh, you just dipped your shirt into a pad. And it had, like, a blot on your shirt. I mean,
not just a blot. Like,
a smear.
A smear.
I would have tried to go get some, like, marinara or, like, something with marinara in it and eaten it sloppily in front of someone and been like, oh, and spilled it on myself and been like, oh, I'm such a mess. And then gone throughout my day smelling like that.
Yeah, 15-year-old Caitlin didn't think like that. I was like, run home, you disgusting bitch.
Oh, my God. So many girls have had period incidents, especially with Schumer in her special did a bit about the Diva Cup, you know, that where it just fills with blood all day and you take it out and you I've honestly used those before. And it is to the brim. And I'm wearing like light color jeans. And I'm like, if something went wrong, if I just got scared by a roach or something all over your pants, there have to be stories out there like that. If you have them, please DM me. I want to hear your Diva Cup disaster.
Oh my gosh, I bet there's millions.
DivaCupDisasters.com. I mean, it's got to be up there.
If that's not a website, we need to start that now. We're going to make so much money. Oh my gosh, I kind of want to try the Diva Cup just to have a disaster story.
I'm not kidding you. It's a cup filled with blood. And if you, and when you pour it into the sink, you're supposed to pour it. Yeah, and it is a lot of blood, but it's awesome because you only have to empty it out like once of every couple days. Or like, I mean, it's like once a day, or let's say. I was pretty dirty about it. So I'm sure I went like, I probably left it in for 3 cycles. Yeah, but like I remember taking it out and it's like teetering on the edge. Like it is a bowl of blood. It is a cup. It's crazy. So there's gotta be times where girls have gotten spooked and spilled it everywhere.
I can't wait to hear all these stories. Well, tweet us or slide into our DMs about your disaster blood story, because I'm so glad I thought of a confession. I'm like, yes. Oh, that's good. That feels good to get that off my chest. Like, you know, the blood off my chest. Gross. Oh, God. Thank you so much. I would really like to do a live podcast with you.
Next time you do a live one and I'm in the same city, I would love to do it.
Yeah. And maybe you could come to Nashville and like stay at my house and we could.
You live in Nashville? That's where you live? Oh, I'm coming to Nashville to perform at Zany's Comedy Club. You got to come that weekend. Whenever it is, I'll hit you up and you can come and hopefully, yeah, we can figure something out. We'll hang out at least.
Okay, I would love that. I've been to Zany's. Girl with No Job did a live podcast there that I did with her. Yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah, that's a great spot. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I think you might be my favorite guest ever.
Really? Thanks, girl.
You're up there with Chris Harrison was my favorite, and you're up there with Chris Harrison.
Oh my God, I've never been up anywhere with Chris Harrison. Oh my God.
You are now on Off the Vine.
Your session is now ending.
Thanks for listening to Off the Vine, Grape Therapy. Tune in to hear new minisodes every Thursday and check out new full-length episodes every Tuesday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
Who's not with OTV?
This week's Grape Therapy is sponsored by Third Love. Get 15% off your purchase, thirdlove.com/vine. Custom Ink. Go to customink.com/vine for 10% off your next order. And TrueCar, visit TrueCar for a more confident car buying experience.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details.
Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.